Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Our text from Revelation. And Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." This is our text. In his book, Rewriting the Family Script, Roger Hillestrom notes that young children are egocentric. And that means that their view of the world is so small that they think that they are the center of things. And he says that as a child, he and his family took a drive one evening, and he remembers assuming that as they traveled, that the moon followed them home and then stayed there all night, hovering over their house. I mean, wouldn't that be nice, your own personal moon? But of course, young children, they aren't the only ones who are egocentric. I'm sure you can think of a number of adults that fit the category as well, who think that the world revolves around them. I mean, some of those people are well-known personalities. I remember Muhammad Ali saying, "I am the greatest." And frankly, there's a lot of adults that think that they are the greatest. I mean, that's why they even have the expression, "the GOAT," the greatest of all time. Well, I wonder if anybody has ever clued them in to the reality that the world really doesn't revolve about them. The book, The Purpose-Driven Life, begins with these words, "It's not about you." I mean, that's a pretty good sentence for us to remember as we come to today's message from the book of Revelation, that it's not about us. And as long as we remain focused on ourselves and our needs and our desires, we're never going to be able to touch God. Because I think touching God requires that we focus on God. And in our text, Jesus says, "See, I'm coming soon." Christ tells us, "My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work." He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let everyone who hears say, 'Come.' And let everyone who is thirsty, come. Let anyone who wishes, take the water of life as a gift. And the one who testifies to these things says, 'Surely, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." So let me say it again. It's not about us. In these past weeks, I've preached a number of times from the book of Revelation. And I began the first time by saying, it begins with Jesus. And that's where we might end as well. You see, it's not about us. It's all about him. It's about his sacrifice upon the cross. What? How does the hymn put it? "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?" One beautiful November morning, a man by the name of Henry Coffeen he launched his monoplane into the air. And things seemed perfect for the first few moments aloft. And then, while he was running through some acrobatic maneuvers, the plane's engine exploded into flames. And Coffeen bailed out just in time. But he awoke in the hospital with third-degree burns over most of his body. And the next few months were the most excruciating of his life. Every day, nurses had to scrub away dead skin so that new skin could grow back. And the fact is, that procedure is so painful that patients often scream in agony. And he cried uncontrollably when it was time for his next treatment. But one of Henry's daily visitors on that burn ward was a flying buddy of his named John Parsons. And Parsons, he was a devout follower of Christ. And each time he visited Henry, he would read Bible verses on God's strength and comfort. Well, Henry tried to block out that part of his friend's visit, because the fact is, Henry didn't believe in God. But one day, as he was undergoing another scrubbing, his thoughts turned to God in spite of his efforts to block his mind. I mean, what good was God? Coffeen wondered. He couldn't understand why he was having to suffer the way that he was. And then some of John Parsons' words came back to Henry. And think about this. If Jesus was God's son, and Jesus suffered beatings and crucifixion, then he certainly understood Henry's pain. And Henry's next thought overwhelmed him. I mean, think about it. Why would anyone deliberately withstand pain? And the only answer could be love. Jesus must have loved us with such an incredible love to subject himself to that kind of pain. So the next time his friend John Parsons visited, Henry actually listened to the passages that he read. And the next time that he underwent a scrubbing, Henry focused on this verse from Philippians: I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And he turned his life over to Jesus because he knew that Jesus understood his pain. You know, he wasn't the first person ever to be touched by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. When we think about it, we may not be able to understand all of the musings that theologians seem to come up with about the significance of the cross. But yet you and I, we know what it means to us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You see, it's not about us. It's about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. It's all about Jesus. It's also about his victory over death. I mean, I don't think you knew, though, when you made the effort to come to church this morning, that we were going to be dealing with the very heart of our faith. But that's exactly what we need to do. I mean, how can you possibly experience what it means to be touched by God without acknowledging Christ's victory over the grave? You see, you can't leave out the cross or the cemetery when you deal with Christ coming into the world. And so there before us today is Jesus. The cross was splintered. The grave was torn open, and Jesus, alive, stands before us with a smile on his face. We just had the joy of celebrating the ascension to the right hand of God. And we're able to celebrate that he is able to be with us wherever we are. We celebrate that he has poured out his Spirit on the church. We celebrate that he has called us to be a part of his family. You know, there are many, many people through the ages who have discovered that this is the real secret of happiness. That when we know Christ, and when we understand that his death on the cross was on our behalf, that his victory over the grave was a promise to us of everlasting life, that's when we know true peace and happiness, a peace and a happiness that nothing can take away. You see, it's all about him, my friends. Do you know this Christ? You know, Christ was more than a great teacher. He was more than a healer. He was more than a worker of miracles. According to John in his book of Revelation to us today, Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the Lamb who was slain, who was resurrected, and who now reigns, seated at the right hand of the Father, world without end. And now today, this same Christ issues you and I, he issues us an invitation. When he says, come, all who desire to come. And this is how the Revelation ends. This is how the Bible ends. It's all about him. So Christ is saying to us, come. He's reaching out his hands, those nail-scarred hands. He's reaching out his hands to us today as well. Amen.